Welcome into the Wizards Group Chat podcast. I am your host, Ryan Oliver. I am joined by the one and only Chase Carroll. Chase, I'm really happy to be doing this podcast with you. I want you to tell the people a little bit about what they can expect from the Wizards Group Chat.
Yeah, what's going on, Ryan? I'm really excited to get into this with you as well. Thank you to everyone who's listening. I don't know if you've heard my previous podcast, The Wizards Walkthrough. Thank you if you're coming back from there. But definitely excited to get this going here with you, Ryan, the Wizards Group Chat. I'm definitely trying to get this going, you know, at least a couple pods a week. And once the season starts, I definitely want to get in some post-game pods. You know, anytime any trades break, I want to be there right away. So I think this is a pod that you can come to and expect to really get a lot of information in a timely manner. And I know we're big Wizards fans. We're always locked in on the Wizards. And with this name, the Wizards Group Chat, we've really established a good group of Wizards content creators. We've really come to enjoy talking with all the time. I know we'll definitely have a lot of them on our show, but this is something that I've been wanting to get going for a while now. And I'm excited that you've gone ahead and joined me here, Ryan. And there's good things on the horizon, it looks like, for Wizards fans here. So I'm excited to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Wizards fan. I know as somebody who's followed the team for as long as I can remember and been a fan, and the past few years have been really rough with the new front office, new direction. It's a great time to be launching the Wizards Group Chat. And I feel like the group chat's representative of kind of all the talking we do about the team, just amongst ourselves, you know, through Wizards Twitter and things of that nature, kind of just manifested itself organically. And what a better way to kind of kick off this podcast than with some exciting news that we kind of just had. Me and Chase had to get on right now and record instantly when we saw this news. We had Shams, we had Woj, pretty much simultaneously tweeting out the news that the Wizards and Bradley Beal are going to work together on a trade, and that Woj kind of had some specific wording in there, and it's if the team elects to kind of go in the rebuild route of the roster. I don't know about you, Chase. I definitely read that the wording as being very specific from the team. In my opinion, I felt like that was coming directly kind of from at least somebody from the Wizards, kind of like, oh yeah, if it goes that direction. But I definitely think when a bunch of the major players in the news breaking sphere of things get information like that, that's just the kind of the tip of the iceberg of the situation. And I definitely think a trade is clearly on the horizon, whether it's within the next week or so leading into the draft, or whether it's after the draft. I definitely think that a trade is on the horizon. And Shams said specifically the Heat were some prominent suitors, which we kind of already knew. But just to see that kind of put out there, and we know the Heat are going to be major players in the offseason in terms of trying to get another star. Chase, what was your initial thoughts when you saw that news?
My initial thoughts are, you know, it's about time. You know, we all have seen a lot of good years out of Bradley Beal. We've seen a lot of good things out of Bradley Beal. But unfortunately, I think it's just time, and it's time for all sides here. You know, Bradley Beal did the best he could with what the previous front office gave him. There were a lot of years where he definitely didn't have the help he needed to be able to elevate this team to where we wanted to be. So it hasn't all been on Bradley Beal here. But the truth of the matter is he hasn't been able to lead this team to where we want them to be as the number one. And with the new front office coming in, it really just makes sense for this to happen now, in my opinion. You know, he has such a big contract that he has to navigate with. So this is definitely not going to be, I think, a trade that we're going to get a lot for him. I think we're definitely going to have to limit our expectations on what Bradley Beal is going to net for us here. But, you know, this is still a star player, not a superstar player like we would have needed him to be the number one guy here, but he is a star player. He will gather some interest here. And as you mentioned, the Heat are a good suitor. I think there's plenty of suitors that I think could view Bradley Beal as that guy that could elevate them to that next level. Not as a number one, Maybe as a number two, definitely as a number three. That's a guy that could bring you that level. But again, his contract is going to make that really difficult to navigate. So it's going to have to be an ideal situation for everyone involved, with Bradley Beal having that no trade clause and a 15% trade kicker. It's going to limit what we can get for him. But when push comes to shove, I really do think this is the right time to get it done. I've seen a couple of reports that maybe the Wizards are trying to get into the top three of the draft. I'm sure that has something to do with a Bradley Beal trade up. Maybe I don't think Portland is exactly interested in that from what I've read, but maybe a team like Charlotte wants to pair Bradley Beal up with a LaMelo Ball, and we're in position to get a guy like Scoot Henderson there at two. But you know, I don't expect that kind of haul. So I'm just going into this with an open mind. I'm excited to see what this new front office can do with this this movement of Bradley Beal.
Yeah, you know, I think for Bradley Beal, he's become the physical representation of the mediocrity the team has kind of been in. And I don't mean that in the sense of saying Bradley Beal himself is a mediocre player, but when you're paying I always like to say this, when you're paying a Chris Middleton level player, like a second guy on a really good team, but perhaps a third guy on most championship level teams, like, you know, not every team's going to have a Giannis, you know, to build your team around, and Chris Middleton or a Beal would fit right in next to that type of player. You're miscasting the player, and you're just destined for mediocrity. And I feel like that's really where a lot of the angst and the frustration from with Beal himself comes from with the fans. It's really not him. It's more of the representation of, or it's more of what he represents. It's that we're never going to be much more than a lower tier playoff team at best with him as our main guy. And I really think that the Wizards have kind of done him a disservice in terms of how he's going to look in the court of public opinion, not so much financially. They done him they done him a real solid financially. They paid him top dollar all the way through, and he's set up for life. And I don't blame him at all for taking the 5 years, $250 million. I mean, who wouldn't take that? I would have done exactly what he did. But I feel like from the court of public opinion, he's really been put in a bad position, because when you have someone that's not good enough to be the main guy trying to be the main guy every year, you're just setting the fans up for failure. You're setting Bradley Beal up for failure. You're setting your whole team and organization up for failure. And just watching this team kind of just, you know, twiddle their thumbs and do the same thing every year, being mediocre, has been really frustrating as a fan of the team, as someone with just basic basketball knowledge, that you could look at this team and even the best case of scenarios, it's like, okay, with Porzingis, Kuzma, and Beal, the best case scenario is what? A 45 win team if everything breaks right? And never does that happen for the Wizards. Do things just break right to align for that type of thing? And it's been time, to your point. I was an advocate of moving Beal 4 years ago when John Wall got hurt initially. I thought it made so much more sense to trade Beal when he was young, had really peak value, and you could let Wall just rehab and then maybe trade his contract down the road and kind of be in a spot now where you're coming up out of the rebuild and you have a bunch of young assets. But not to dwell in the past, it's just interesting to see where a competent front office come in and immediately do what was obvious to Wizards fans years ago. Okay, hey, like, this isn't going to work. What we're doing now just isn't going to work. Let's get with Beal's representation and send him somewhere that, you know, he'd be happy to go. And like you said, with a no trade clause and the trade kicker, and even Woj said this in his report, that Beal's going to have a lot of say in where he goes in the type of package the Wizards get back. Because if he looks at the Heat and says, hey, you know what? I actually want to play with such and such. I don't want them in the trade. That makes it harder for the Wizards to negotiate a favorable deal. My hunch is that the Wizards and Beal both would want to do each other a solid. So I think that Beal is going to want, hey, send me to the Wizards and let's work out a favorable package for you guys too. So it's a win-win for both of us. I just feel like that's Beal's nature. Not saying that he's going to let them completely gut the team or something like that, but I don't think Beal's going to try to say, hey, I don't want to do, you know, a deal that works for the Wizards. I just want it to work for me. I think it's going to be a good middle ground for both sides. And I definitely think Miami's the favorite. And I honestly think the Knicks would be my second on my list. I want to know what you're thinking in terms of destinations. What do you look at? What kind of deal are you looking at, Chase, in your mind that you think is ideal maybe for both sides?
So I'm not looking at a specific destination per se. I'm looking for whoever can really get us the most draft picks. Because for me, I'm looking to hit the full reset. I don't need, we're talking about the Miami Heat, for example. I'm not really moved by a guy like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson package, like a young guy in Tyler Hero, who's been in the league for a few years now. I want this new front office to be able to hit the reset button and be able to bring in their own guys. Like I had mentioned before, this may be a tough ask to be able to get a ton of draft picks. And with Brad being able to decide where he wants to go, ultimately this could be a difficult ask, getting a ton of draft picks, but it's definitely a concern with Adrian Wojnarowski. He tweeted out that Beal has, you know, the ability to impact, the kind of trade that he might be netting in return for him. That's kind of a concern. I'm assuming that's possibly coming from his agent. So a little bit concerning reading that. But as you said, I don't think Bradley Beal is the type of guy to really hold a grudge against this organization, considering I think they both treated each other very well in his tenure here. He was drafted here by the Wizards. He was made the number one guy, and a lot of the fan base has really soured on Bradley Beal, but the front office and the ownership never did. They were always good to him, and Brad in return was also good to DC. So whoever can net the most amount of picks that Bradley Beal would like to go to, I know he would probably love to go somewhere like Miami, somewhere like the New York Knicks. I could see either of the LAs being a destination, although maybe the trades don't really work out there contract wise. But I feel like there are a bunch of places Brad would be willing to go to, but at the end of the day, this is also, he has to move his family. He has to take all of that into consideration. So there's probably only a few destinations that we can ideally expect him to want to go to. So whichever one of those destinations gives us the best package of picks, and if they're getting this done before this draft, seems like Michael Winger and crew are really interested in what this draft has to offer. So I'm all on board for whoever can get us the most picks as quickly as possible to get this rebuild started.
Yeah, and kind of piggybacking off your point about the most picks, I'm actually higher on the Miami package than I think a lot of other Wizards fans might be. And it's not because I think Tyler Hero is like the next big thing, or I'm a big Duncan Robinson fan or anything of that nature. I just think the picks coming from them would probably be the most, meaning I think they could, if you're going to take back Duncan Robinson's contract and Tyler Hero's contract, you might be able to get three first rounders back. And I think since the team is rebuilding anyway, you need some type of talent on the team. You can't just have, you know, Johnny Davis, whoever we draft this year, Denny Avdia, and, you know, Gafford. Like, you can't just trot that out. I mean, you can, but you're going to be those terrible Sixers teams from the process days. Like, you got to actually field a decent team. So I think that you could take back Hero's contract. People look at those contracts and I feel like people get really caught up in like, oh, well, he's making $30 million a year, you know, and it's just Tyler Hero. But Tyler Hero is a 20 point per game scorer. He's shown an ability to at least be somewhat of a draw in terms of fan interest. So I think there would be some fans that would at least embrace him being here, if not just to showcase what he can do for another trade down the road. And then same with Duncan Robinson. I mean, people gave Duncan Robinson a lot of you know, stuff over for bad defense and things of that nature. He was out the rotation, but this guy just played in the finals and was playing a pretty big part of what the Heat were doing. I'm not saying he's a phenomenal player or worth the number that he's getting paid, but there's not some contender out there or some team that could value his shooting and seeing that he's proven he can even put the ball on the floor a little bit and kind of make a few plays. So I guess what I'm saying is you could do a lot worse in terms of player return. I'm not saying I would love that package, but I'm not as low on it as some people who are like, oh, I don't even want to take back those deals. I'm not on that level with it. I think that if they get back three picks, I would be cool with that return. And in terms of like the Knicks, I'm not exactly sure what they could offer because I think that players like Obi Toppin and Quickly are up for extensions either now or very soon. And so I don't know how that factors into the like their trade availability and things of that nature. But I think the Knicks actually have a package that I think probably makes the most sense to me in terms of players coming back and not necessarily picks. But I think that getting a player like Toppin, getting a player like Quickly, especially Quickly, could be really interesting. And a kind of a player I think that the fan base would embrace is like, hey, we've seen Quickly, you know, kind of every year get better. Maybe he's not a future star, but he could probably be a high level starter. So I think that the Knicks, and they have Fournier's contract that they could put in there as expiring to kind of help the financial aspect of the trade. Plus they have picks. They have the pick that we traded out, I think, in the John Wall trade, mm-hmm. and somehow the Knicks have it, but they do amongst their other picks that they haven't traded yet for a star or anything. And I think that Beal is going to want to go to a big market like that. That's to me like a market like the Heat, the Knicks, are like Brooklyn or, you know, the New York area in general. Like, I mean, or an LA team. I think that those are the like, if I was Beal, that's where I would want to go. Like, okay, like those are the places I would want to go. And I want to touch on one more thing before I let you jump back in here, Chase. I think that Miami, this coming out now is purposeful to me, and that Miami is a prominent suitor. Because if I'm Beal, you made a point about his family. He has three kids. He has a wife. If you get the trade done soon, it gives him a lot of time to get things transitioned to where he wants to be, like in terms of logistics, in terms of family. And he's really close with Bam and things like that. And I feel like it gives you an off season to kind of get more rooted in with the team and things of that nature versus doing it down the road. It's like the writing is clearly on the wall. So I think it's in everyone's best interest, including Beal, to say, hey, like, okay, if you guys are going to decide to go in a different direction, which we probably need to decide here pretty quick, let me get on my way too and figure out where I'm going next. And I think that it's really what all sides need to be doing right now. It's just, the writing's on the wall. Let's get it moving. Let's make, you know, get everything in order and do what's best for both Beal and the team.
Absolutely. And I think you look at both of these teams, the Heat, for example, they've come so close yet again, another finals loss, and they've been rumored for Beal for what, 4 or 5 years now. Yeah. So they make very good sense in that aspect, as well as the Knicks. Apparently, they've had a couple deals on the table for Beal over the last couple of years with Tom Thibodeau. It's been interested in a guy like Beal. So I would think that those two are definitely the best places that we could possibly get some draft picks from. But they've come so close, and maybe they feel that Beal is that guy that can lift them over the edge. It makes more sense for a team like Miami than it does for us right now. So I would 100% swing on a team like Miami, team like New York, and even maybe a team like Brooklyn. I know that might be a weird one to bring up, but they have all their draft picks still. They seemingly want to go all in still for a playoff push. They don't want to trade any of their young pieces that they got at the deadline. So maybe they're, for whatever reason, a Bradley Beal destination. I know, I think Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie were friends. I don't know if they will keep Dinwiddie or what, but, I don't think that they soured with each other here in DC. They seem to be all good at the end of it. So maybe that works out there. They send Beal to the Brooklyn Nets and get a couple of the picks that they were able to get in that, Kevin Durant deal. Just for an example, I don't know if that's a likely destination or not, but I think we got to look at some of these, you know, surprising destinations that we might not be expecting. Maybe a place like New Orleans. I don't know how he would feel about, you know, a place like that. But it seems like New Orleans wants to take that next step as well. They want to seemingly get into the top three is what I've been reading. But I've also seen that they want to add another star. So,
right.
You know, I think this NBA offseason in general is just so crazy that, you know, I have no idea what could happen. Literally, you could tell me that the Hornets wanted Bradley Beal and maybe Bradley Beal loves staying on the East Coast and he wants to pair up with LaMelo Ball and he'd accept there. But you know, I genuinely have no idea where he will go. That's the fun part about this is yes, he has a say of where he can go, but he will have some interest everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe a team like Portland, they want to pair up somebody with Damian Lillard. I don't know if that would make much sense as they had the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum pairing for so long. I don't think that's too much different from what they've already tried, but maybe they get desperate and want to throw something together for Dame. But I'm really excited to see where this leads because it could go anywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think that the smaller markets would surprise me. I think that from a talent perspective, New Orleans makes a lot of sense. But just watching Zion from afar, and I'm a big Zion fan when he's actually on the court. I think he's top 10 player in the league potential, maybe even higher. I mean, the games he played this year, I mean, it was pretty amazing. I mean, in like 29 games, he was a first team all-star. You know, like, I mean, he's a pretty incredible player, but I think from afar that the in shape concerns would really concern me if I'm Beal, that's someone I'm kind of like locking in with as like someone I'm relying on to be a key cog for me in like the next few prime years I have. In Charlotte, I honestly think that from a standpoint of, hey, him and LaMelo Ball would be interesting. Yeah, I could see it, but I would be like, knock me on the floor if he would accept a trade to Charlotte.
Yeah,
I just can't see it. I can't. After leaving the Wizards, going to Charlotte, I think if I'm him, I got to go somewhere that has a track record of winning. And that's why maybe even the Knicks wouldn't be a huge draw for him. I really think the Heat are the best of both worlds in terms of what would appeal to me if I feel like I was Bradley Beal. Like good weather and a place to like live with my family and what would work for the Wizards. I honestly think that that's the best destination for all parties involved. I know Philly is a place that's been often talked about. There's actually a report from John Clark who works for NBC S Philly. And he actually said, he tweeted about 37 minutes ago that the Sixers are not expected to be interested in Bradley Beal, which is very interesting when you think about it, that the Sixers wouldn't be interested. But he also tweeted that the team believes that Tyrese Maxey has all-star potential, which I agree he does. And I've definitely been in the camp of, I don't think they would offer Maxey in a deal. I don't see how that makes sense for Philly. I think the goal would be to keep Maxey and add Beal, not trade Maxey and acquire Beal, because then you're really left with Beal and Embiid, and you wouldn't even have Tobias Harris at that point because he would be in the deal to make the salaries work. So you really would just be left with those two guys who are both 30, basically. And I feel like you would have no more resources to upgrade the team going forward, and you'd be kind of stuck with the team. I mean, how good is a Beal and Embiid team really? They'd be pretty good, but I don't think they'd be a championship contender unless they were adding another wing type player. Excuse me. So I just don't see that as a, I don't see Maxey as a trade chip in a Beal deal, and I don't see how else the deal could happen. So it'll be interesting to see where things go forward with the whole Beal thing. I think that Miami makes the most sense, and I think the Knicks are probably the team. The Mavs also too. I think the Mavs would be interesting. I do wonder if Beal would be interested in the Mavs, but if I'm the Mavs, I mean, you're already signing up for the Kyrie experience. You have the 10th pick. That's not going to probably be a huge difference maker. I mean, what do you think of the Mavs?
I like the Mavs, and they got a young player in Jaden Hardy that I think I would love to get back in a Beal deal, pick 10. So if Michael Winger and crew are really set on getting, you know, a lottery pick in this year's draft, if they really love this draft, like I think a lot of people do, including myself, that would make a lot of sense, trying to get that number 10 pick along with a young guy like Jaden Hardy. They got a couple other young guys that they could definitely throw in the mix there. But yeah, that I think that would be a good destination for him, whether he wants to live out all the way out in Texas. I guess we'll see. And that would definitely be an interesting trio, to say the least, there with Kyrie, Brad, and Luka, assuming all three of them are back. I don't know if that works money-wise or not, but yeah, I think that would definitely be a good destination for him. We'd probably have to get back Davis Bertans in that deal, which I know a lot of folks would not enjoy after he definitely burned the house down after he left. He didn't have nice things to say. I mean, you wouldn't have to keep a guy like Davis Bertans or, you know, if you traded for him. But definitely would be an interesting suitor there in Dallas. I would be all for a 10-pick Jaden Hardy type of deal coming back. And hopefully more than that, but yeah. I'm limiting my expectations here for what we're able to get for him, just simply because of that trade kicker, which he could dismiss if the right team came along and they all agreed to a deal. He could waive his trade kicker. But that no trade clause, it's going to limit what we can get for him. So that's definitely a good package. But where there is smoke, there's fire with the Miami Heat situation. They just lost the finals for the second time in the last couple of years. They want to get to that next step. They want to take that leap to become that championship team. I think Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo is a great trio that could definitely win a championship. So we'll see how desperate the Heat are to make that move. If there are a couple of other places that Brad would okay, and we're able to actually, you know, get a bid going for Brad, that'd be awesome. But if he just says, I want to go to Miami, I want to go to New York, I want to go to Dallas, we're kind of screwed. We're kind of set in place with whatever he wants to do. So at the end of the day, whatever the best pick we can get, I'm all on board. Let's run it in.
My hunch is that it'll come down to, hey, this is the team I really would like to go to. But here are two other teams I'd accept going to. So I think that would probably look like, hey, I'd most likely want to go to the Heat. But if you can work out a deal with the Knicks or Philly, I would accept trades there too. I kind of think it's going to be something like that. I just don't think Beal's going to be so like, I'm only going to Miami and I'm only going if you take back this return. Like, I think it's going to be a happy middle ground for both, where, you know, and honestly, even without the no trade clause, I really don't think, given Beal's standing within the Wizards organization, that they would have just been like, hey, like, Charlotte, you know, see ya, Beal. I think they would have worked with him regardless. I think the no trade clause makes it so he has much more power. That's an obvious statement, but I think that they would have gotten with him and say, hey, like, we're going to trade you. This is what it looks like. We don't want to send you to someplace you absolutely don't want to go. So, like, we just want to keep you in the loop of what's going on. But now I think Beal will probably tell him, I want to go to Miami, but hey, I will take these other trades too. And I think that it'll work for both sides. Chase, I want to ask you about what this says in terms of the front office and their direction. Obviously, we have President of Basketball Operations Michael Winger, new GM of the Wizards Will Dawkins. We have I believe the vice president of player personnel is Travis Schlenk, formerly of both the Atlanta Hawks and the Warriors. So we have a new front office. What do you think it says about their direction for things that this Beal news is coming out?
Well, when you look at where a guy like Will Dawkins, the new GM, comes from, he comes from a place, OKC, where he learned under the guys in OKC. And what has OKC done over the last five, six, however many years? They've done what I think a lot of us Wizards fans have wanted us to do, is they've hit that reset button. They've gotten a bunch of young talent in the building through draft picks, through trades that they've made to get young talent in. What we lack here in DC is that young talent. And that's very apparent. You look at this roster, you got a guy like Corey Kispert's a good young guy, but he's not you know, a franchise elevating young talent. You got a guy like Denny Avdija, who obviously this fan base is pretty split on 50-50, but, you know, I personally don't think he's a franchise elevating player himself either. I think he's a great defender that hasn't really taken that next step offensively, and I don't know if he ever will, but I think he's a good piece to have. But again, not the young talent you want in the building to take you to that next level. So with a Beal trade, that's what I'm really looking for, is that young talent, that young nucleus to come in here. And I definitely think that's what they're looking for. Cause you look at OKC, gosh, they just hit on every draft pick seemingly, like in some sort of way. They know what they want in the draft and they grab it and they know how to develop it. And that's the thing that we've lacked here in DC is obviously we've missed on, in my opinion, 4 out of 4 lottery picks in Tommy Shepard's tenure. I loved Rui Hachimura, but if he's not re-signing here, that's a miss. Denny Avdija, great. Good. No, I'm not gonna say great player. Good player there at pick 9, but he's not a franchise changer that you want in the top 10. And now your last pick here, Johnny Davis. I personally don't have much hope for Johnny. I hope he takes that next step, but he's not a guy that I think. I don't even think he'll. I personally don't even know if he'll be a good player in the NBA. I'm really worried about him. He's given me the Jerome Robinson feel from a lottery pick. So I'm hoping that he develops, and obviously getting off of Bradley Beal, you're going to get a better look at him. You're going to get more time for him. So I'm excited to see what this front office is able to do with this draft. I'd love to get at least one or two more picks in this draft so we can just have a bunch of young talent.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chase. I have no faith in Johnny Davis. It seemed that Tommy Shepard was kind of just following the mock drafts with that pick and felt like that was the guy to go to. I didn't have a huge knowledge base on last year's draft. So I just kind of thought, okay, maybe I'll give Johnny Davis a chance because everyone seemed to say, oh, he was the Big Ten player of the year and he was mocked that high. So I'm like, okay, maybe the scouts, there's a reason he's that high, but I know a lot of Wizards Twitter was like, like they didn't want that pick. I don't think anyone outright hated it except for maybe a couple people, but I know most people were like, yeah, he'll be a solid rotation player, but I don't see him being much more than that. And I think that that's part of the problem with the previous front office being Tommy Shepard was the players he took are all rotation level players. And that's fine when you're picking maybe 15th or 20th or 25th. But when you're picking 9 or 10 or 8, it's just not taking bigger swings, I think, is the thing that is like been so frustrating about the previous regime. Like I know Wizards Twitter was really all in on Santa Clara, Jalen Williams last year. And I mean, you got people that just do this for fun that are telling you, hey, like, look at this guy. He has all these tools and he's not projected, like initially was projected to be a top, you know, a top 10 pick, but he has every tool that you would need in a top 10 pick. But then you have these evaluators who are paid to do the job, you know, and make the pick, who can't see what everyone else that's just a casual fan can apparently see. The one pick that, and I'm not a Tommy Shepard defender, but the one pick I can understand the thinking behind, even though I was on the record on my own former podcast saying I didn't want Denny Avdija. Like me and Matt Moderno, shout out Matt from the Believe in Wizards pod, we did a mock draft before that draft, and I think we got to our pick and Denny was the best on the board, and Matt picked Denny. He was doing the Wizards pick, and I was like, if that was the pick, I wouldn't be happy with it. But what I will say was a lot of places had Denny going in the top 5, and secondly, I understood, I think, the thinking of pairing Denny and Rui together with where the league was going, right? Or where the league is. Having switchable wings that can be two-way guys that are both big and like 6'8", 6'9". At the time, I felt like, okay, I can see at least somewhat of the vision for like how those players would be on a modern team together and play the forward positions and be interchangeable. But the problem is neither of them could really create off the bounce the way you would need it to, in addition to shoot, the way you would need it for those parts to fit together. But I think I could understand the logic in the time of the pick. Like, okay, we have Rue, we have the 6'9 wing who we have a lot of faith in. Let's pair him with another 6'9, like, you know, wing that can do a bunch of different things. And like, hey, like, we'll have the next big thing. Like, I could understand their thinking. I would have picked Halliburton, like everyone else probably would have picked Halliburton. But I could at least understand the thinking in the pick, even if it's not the pick I would have made. I think the problem with like picking a Johnny Davis or picking like, I don't know if this is before Tommy or not, but the Troy Brown pick, like those guys to me, it's just like, what is the best case scenario for a Troy Brown? What's the best case scenario for Johnny Davis? Like those guys were probably role players from the jump.
Right. No, I think you look, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think you look at teams across the league, they get their star players in the lottery and they get their role players in the second round. And you look at what Tommy Shepard has done. Not only do I think he missed on every lottery pick, I think he missed on every single second round pick by a wide margin as well, whether it be a draft stash like he took this past season that likely will never step foot on the floor for the Wizards, or whether it be someone like Admiral Schofield, who never looked like an NBA player, especially for us. Now I think he's, I don't even know where he is now. He's somewhere else. A Cassius Winston. Like, these are guys that I think you look at and they don't have high, they just don't have big upside there in the second round. I think that's where you get your big upside type of plays. Like, for example, I know a lot of Wizards Twitter wanted Bol Bol in that draft the second round. We pass on him for an Admiral Schofield who, you know, I guess they probably viewed him as a guy that you can plug in there and be that dirty, get some boards. But man, that dude looked like he had no business being on the floor. And I still don't think he's a good NBA player. So, that's what I'm excited about with this new front office.
Yeah.
I think we've seen that a lot of these, you know, Michael Winger, Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, they've had at least a little bit of success in their organizations drafting later in the first or in the second round. So that's what I'm excited about personally, is when Tommy Shepard was in the building. Unfortunately, when it came to the second round, we might as well have just turned off the television, because it was just about a guarantee that he was going to miss that pick. So with this new front office in the building, I'm really excited about our possibility for the entire draft, not only just our lottery pick here. I'm excited to see what we can do about possibly getting some good young pieces in the second round.
Yeah. I think what I'm most excited about is just there's real possibilities now. And I don't think I'm pushing for one thing or another. The only thing I think that is like absolutely has to happen is Beal gets traded. I think that's just it. That's something that has to happen. But I think that a full on tear down everything to the studs rebuild isn't the way it has to be. I think there's other ways to be opportunistic with flexibility and tradable contracts and accumulating assets. I don't think you always have to bottom out and be, you know, a completely terrible team to find a way towards contention. I just think having a plan that is something that's tangible that fans can latch onto is something that's important. I think the aimlessness from the previous regime is what just was so killer. I would watch the games. I've always been a big Porzingis fan, but I was happy when the Wizards got him, but I just watched the team and I felt like, you know, this team has a lot of okay parts, but I have no idea what they're trying to actually do. Like, do they want to play slow? Do they want to play fast? Where did they draft Johnny Davis to actually play? They mentioned him playing point guard. This guy doesn't look like he could run an offense in the G League, let alone the real league. So I don't, how is that even something that was envisioned by Tommy Shepard that he would play point guard? Do they see Denny long-term as a three or a four? What do things look like? I just want to see a tangible plan where I could say, okay, hey, they're planning on building a team that looks like this. In that direction is just something that I have a lot of faith in. I was really impressed by Will Dawkins, especially. And I think that the track record of Winger and Travis Schlenk just gives you this optimism to finally, like, okay, like, I can latch on to this. I can, even if we're bad for a few years, or three, you know, 2 or 3 years, I could at least understand what we're going for. I can understand the vision here on how we're going to get to a team that's at least a respectable. And then once you get to respectable, that's where you can take it forward. But the team's just been a joke for so long. Even, you know, the John Wall prime years feel like forever ago now. And I mean, that team had its own problems and things of that nature, but it's really nice to kind of have a plan going forward. To speak towards that plan, we don't know if Kristaps Porzingis is going to be a part of the plan because he has an opt-in or opt-out, but there's been some buzz. Keith Smith, reported today that there's buzz that he's going to opt in after it looked like, I believe Shams had reported that it was likely he'd opt out and work towards a new deal, but that was back when Tommy Shepard was in charge. What do you think about the potential of Porzingis opting in? What does that look like in your mind?
I think this is the best case for everybody involved. Ideally, I think this gives KP the opportunity to bet on himself. If he can stay healthy yet again, which obviously in his career has been a difficulty for him, but last year he was relatively healthy. If he can do that again, bet on himself, he's going to get paid. But from the Wizards' perspective, I think this is a great thing because not only this makes him tradable right now, right, whether it be during the draft, after the draft, maybe at the deadline, if the season's going the way we think it is, then he's a tradable asset there with just the 1 year left on his deal. But at the same time, I think he's a guy that you could build around. You did mention that we don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be like the Houston Rockets. Like just only young guys that just don't seem to mesh together, that just aren't good together seemingly. Like there seem to be a lot of problems there in that locker room, just for example, the Rockets. But I think we saw this past season, a guy like Kristaps Porzingis was willing to take young guys under his wing. And I don't think he's the type of guy that really halts a so-called tank, if that's what their direction is. If they do want to not necessarily bottom out and be one of the worst teams in the league, but you know, play their young guys and have veterans alongside them. I think KP is a great veteran to have alongside of a bunch of young guys. He took a guy like Denny under his wing, seemingly. Like I see on Instagram, like they seem to be best friends. And right, I don't think that's common in the NBA for a young guy. Denny was 21, 22 years old to be so close with a guy like Kristaps Porzingis. So I really enjoyed seeing that from that aspect. That's kind of been one of the, I think, draws against Bradley Beal seemingly has been maybe his, you know, maybe his leadership hasn't been what a lot of us have wanted from him being the number one guy. I think if KP is your number one guy for the time being, for whether that be 1 year, he bets on himself. Maybe we re-sign him if he, you know, seems like he could be a part of the future. I think this is ideal, him opting into this last year of his deal. He's going to make $36 million, which, you know, obviously that's a tough trade, but I think there's teams that would definitely take that on for 1 year. For example, a team like I mentioned the Pelicans earlier, if they are serious about trading into the top three, I think they would still keep their 14th pick, and that could possibly be a trade suitor there for them. You know, with Scoot, that would be I think a good duo. I don't know who they'd be trading, maybe Brandon Ingram or Zion. It seems like there's a lot of fire around trading Zion. So I think he could be a guy that could fill in there, for example. But I think there would be a lot of teams that would love a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, including us. Like I'm not dead set on trading him. I'm not dead set on keeping him. I think if you bring him back for this 1 year, there's a lot of different possibilities that make sense.
I think the point you're making is kind of where I'm at with it too, in terms of it gives you optionality as a team in a front office. $36 million is a big number for Porzingis, given his kind of injury prone history, but he had a pretty healthy season last year. And I honestly thought that if the team was better, he would have had at least a borderline all-star case. I thought he had a really good year on both sides of the ball. He's not as switchy on the perimeter as I think contending teams might like, but I think his skill set is so unique that he would fit on certain teams like Pelicans, like you mentioned. I think he'd be literally the perfect fit next to Zion in terms of what you need. Valanciunas and Zion have always been a weird fit because Zion just needs space to operate, and you need someone that can step out and really be a threat from three and also protect the rim. So you have the best of both worlds in terms of KP. So I think that would be a natural team I would think would be interested in Porzingis via trade. And I'm not saying I want to trade him, but they at least have the salaries to fill to get up to $36 million, and they have young players and picks, where not saying you get all of those things at once, because KP, I don't know how much value he'd have on an expiring, but like they have a guy like Kira Lewis you could take a flyer on, who's been a guard who hasn't really found much traction there, but was a former, I believe, at least almost a borderline lottery pick. I mean, was he a lottery pick? I know he was a projected lottery pick. I can't remember exactly where he landed, but I think he tore his ACL and his career's got a little derailed. But I do know that there's a section of Pelicans fans that have been pushing Willie Green to play him, like that want, you know, pushing from their perspective as fans, like, hey, we want to see this guy play because we've seen a little glimpse here, a little glimpse there when he gets a couple minutes. And to me, like, I just want to see the team be opportunistic. Like, let's, if turning KP into, to a couple smaller deals, and we can get a couple assets and some young players that we can take a flyer on, and maybe it will be something for us. That's the type of thing I would like to do. But I wouldn't also be mad at seeing KP play out the year and see how he can help mentor some of the young guys. I think it's about having options. And I think him opting in is a much better scenario for the Wizards than him opting out. And I think for KP, I never really understood the whole opt out, re-sign thing from his perspective. Unless he was getting, you know, Tommy Shepard had said, hey, we're going to give you like $30 million a year. Then I understood it, but I didn't understand that from the Wizards side. Why would we re-sign him to a 4-year, $30 million a year deal, given his injury history and where the team is at? I think it makes sense from the Wizards perspective and from Porzingis' perspective to take the most money you can make now. I think next year he'll be in his late 20s still, and he can cash in on a longer term deal and have his option to play wherever he wants to. So I think it's the best of both worlds. I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides. If he decides to just opt in and, you know, I guess it takes away some of his freedom to decide where he goes, because the Wizards could trade him wherever. But I think that, I'd lock in that the most money I could make for next year and then go from there if I was Porzingis.
And that just shows the difference between the front offices here. Tommy Shepard running mostly out of desperation, seemingly towards the end of his his tenure, unfortunately. And now we have a fresh start, and they're able to do whatever they please, which is a much better feeling as a fan. Like we're right where we were when Tommy left, but it's just such a drastic change on where we could go with it. Because you knew that he was going to be locking in KP to that big deal. You knew that he was going to be locking in Kuz to that big deal. Now there's a ton of different possibilities you can go with, and especially now if Brad's not in the picture anymore. But I saw this trade floated out for KP. I want to know your thoughts on it. It was Kira Lewis, as you mentioned, Valanciunas, the 14th pick in this draft. So last pick in the lottery, and then maybe a couple players for some filler, for some contract filler there. I personally really liked it. I want to get another lottery pick here, even if it is the last pick in the lottery. It's not something I'm dead set on, because obviously KP, as we mentioned, is a guy that could stay here, but I'm wondering your thoughts on a deal like that.
I think that would be the best case scenario for what you would do with Porzingis. To be honest, I think that you do need vets, but you can sign vets for much cheaper than $36 million. And I'm Porzingis is my favorite player on the team. So this isn't like I'm like, hey, I just get rid of him. But I think that I want a front office that's proactive instead of reactive. That's been my biggest gripe with the Wizards forever, I guess. Since Ernie Grunfeld, he was the GM forever. And then Tommy Shepard just was like kind of like a mini version of that. But I just have never understood why the team is always so reactive and not proactive. And I think that getting ahead of it and just saying, hey, Porzingis, we're going to send you to a contender, or a team that is at least aiming to contend and has pieces in place to do so. You know, he'd be playing next to Zion. It's a perfect fit with him and Ingram and McCollum. I can't think of a better fit for Porzingis, his skill set. I can't think of a better fit. Like, he would be in the proper role where he's like the third or fourth guy, where he's not expected to carry an offense, and he could literally just play the role he's designed to play, rim protect, spread the floor, and when needed, do the little bit more that we know he can do. And I think for the Wizards, the return, I think if they could turn Porzingis into a lottery pick and then also another young player who we haven't even really seen what he can do in the NBA yet, like, who's to say Kira Lewis couldn't be a good level starter in the NBA? We have no idea what he can do. And obviously you would say, hey, like, well, he hasn't played, so there's a reason why he hasn't played much in New Orleans. But I also think that they just have a lot going on in New Orleans. You're trying to develop Zion. You're trying to play Ingram. You brought CJ in. He's playing point. You have Trey Murphy. You have Herb Jones. You have Jose Alvarado. You have all these, like, moving pieces. I think that he tore his ACL and he got lost in the shuffle. And Dyson Daniels, not to mention another Wizards Twitter darling of the draft. I know a lot of people wanted him last year. So I just think he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. And I'm not saying he's going to be some home run swing for the Wizards, but those are the type of guys that I would at least like to see the Wizards target to say, hey, we got to get an infusion of young talent on the team just so we can get an assessment of, like, of young guys that can be a part of the core going forward. And I think that that's exactly how you would spin a KP into making it, like, the best thing for the Wizards. I almost think getting a lottery pick would be too good to be true for Porzingis, especially on an expiring. But even if it was a deal where you were getting a future first and Kira Lewis and the same type of deal, I think I'd take that. I honestly think I would take it even if it wasn't a lottery pick, because the chances of KP just leaving for nothing is probably pretty high if we don't trade him. So I definitely think that deal that you mentioned would be awesome. I want to ask you about Kuzma. What do you think this new front office means for Kyle Kuzma and his likelihood of being on the roster at the open of next year?
I would put his likeliness of coming back at 25% personally. I personally think he just walks. I don't even think that there'll be a sign and trade there for him. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't foresee him being in this front office's plans. It does seem like if we're trading Bradley Beal, as it looks like we are, KP now probably going to opt into his last year of his player option. I think this is all spelling out towards Kuz not being here anymore, really. And I think that makes sense for all sides as well. Kuz is going to have plenty of suitors. He's going to be able to make his money wherever he wants. And I think he's a guy who wants to contend. He was given a lot of freedom here in DC, which he loved, but that was under a different front office. This is a new front office in town. I don't know if they love him the way that Tommy Shepard did. So I like Kuzma. I wouldn't be upset if he came back in some capacity. I don't think he'll be opting into his deal at all. I definitely think he's a opt-out candidate. But at the same time, there's going to be plenty of suitors for him. If there is a sign and trade for him, I'll take anything for him. Second round pick, whatever. I'll take it. Better than letting him walk for free. But if it does come down to it, if they're just going to let him walk, I'm not going to be super upset about it. I love Kuz's time here in DC, but obviously there's changes coming on the horizon. So he's likely the odd man out here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that once the front office got turned over, and that big deal was likely not going to be what it was when Tommy Shepard was in charge, I think that we all kind of just knew that the time was probably up for Kuzma. He's going to probably look for about $28 to $32 million a year, somewhere in that range, I would assume. If I was him, I would say, hey, you see what Jordan Poole got? That's what I want. Because why is Jordan Poole getting paid more than I'm worth? You know, I think that would be, if I was his agent, that's probably what I would reference as, like, the what I would expect in a new deal. Because Kuzma, to me, proved himself to be probably a better player than I honestly thought he was when he came here. I think he's, like, a good third or fourth guy. Maybe a high level sixth man on a really good team. But I definitely think that he showed some leadership that I really liked when he was here. And it sucks because the Wizards, like I said, with the whole proactive reactive thing, they should have traded him at the deadline. And I hate that to say that, even because I just complimented him on his time here. But I'm just talking about from a strictly asset standpoint, and you can't always look at things like that. But I think that the Wizards were definitely at a point last year where the writing was just on the wall that this wasn't it. You know, this team wasn't going to be that good. You couldn't keep giving them incompletes and saying, hey, if we get healthy, you know, they'll be better. I think there were times where Kuzma was the best player on the team last year. And that, to me, is an indictment on Beal's impact. Says less about KP. I think KP overall was the best player. But I think at times you could argue Kuzma was. And to me, if there's any time where Kuzma is your best player, your team isn't doing what it needs to do, unless you're a rebuilding team like the Rockets and he's on that type of team. If he's on that type of team, okay. But I just felt like the writing had been on the wall in terms of what they should do, and they should have traded him. But I definitely think now that he has the option to go elsewhere, I think that both sides are probably just going to agree that it doesn't make sense unless it's a sign and trade type of thing. That's the only way I could see the Wizards even being involved, is if it's, hey, you know, like you'll get an asset back, you know, this helps me get what I need, get to where I'm trying to go or whatever. And it kind of is something that works for both sides. But I definitely think that Kuzma's days in DC are over, but it was a, you know, a pretty enjoyable experience for what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, referencing Tommy Shepard working out of desperation. He trades Rui Hachimura at the deadline. And that deal may have ultimately cost him his job, because if it was just making the playoffs, that's all it took for him to keep his job, that deal very well might have cost him his job. But he probably felt he couldn't make a deal like that with Kuzma. He just made a deal with Rui. So obviously he was running out of desperation. He was going to throw the bag at Kuzma. I think I'm happy that we're not going to be doing that, as much as I just said that I liked Kuzma as well. I don't think I was going to be super excited with a, you know, for example, a Jordan Poole type of contract, like I think he would have gotten here. Tommy Shepard seemed dead set on giving the three their bag.
Definitely getting bags for sure.
Every one of them was going to get a bag, and they were all going to be happy about losing in DC. And I think this just makes sense for both sides there. Kuzma can go ahead and go win somewhere. He's a winning type of player. We saw it in LA. He's had more to do here in DC. He was able to show more of his game here. But I don't think he's necessarily that type of guy. He's pretty inefficient this year. So if he has a better opportunity, maybe somewhere like Phoenix wants a guy like him, somewhere like, I don't know, Memphis wants a guy like Kyle Kuzma. I think there's plenty of destinations for him that make sense. And unfortunately, we're no longer one of those destinations. Under Tommy Shepard, definitely was his best opportunity to make a bag. So I hope he's able to get his money somewhere. I just don't hope it's here.
I totally agree. Chase, as we kind of head towards wrapping things up here on our first episode of the Wizards group chat, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I want to kind of get your predictions going forward in terms of, or let me say not predictions, but prediction in terms of what do you see over the next week or so until the draft. What do you kind of foresee in your mind, things going, maybe in terms of like a Beal trade or a move up or anything like that? Is there anything that like you have a gut feeling on, or just a thought about in terms of between now and draft time?
Well, I definitely think Beal, now that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I've mentioned that a couple of times now in this pod, where there's smoke, there's fire. I definitely think Beal's now being dealt before the draft. And I don't think that was a possibility really many people expected. We were talking in our Wizards group chat, we were talking about how, is this even a possibility, him being traded pre-draft? And then 30 minutes later, here comes out this report that, there's going to be suitors for Beal and he's likely going to be headed out. So I think the Wizards have someone that they like high up in the draft that they don't think that they can get. I personally think maybe they want a guy like Scoot. I would love Scoot. I don't know if Beal could net them, a second or third pick, But if that was a possibility, I'd definitely foresee them trying to get up as high as they can. They want a franchise altering player to build around immediately. And I'm all for that. So if they can move up in the draft, however they can do it, I'm all on board for that. But you know, if they stay put at eight, I hope we're able to get a transforming player, maybe an Anthony Black. I don't know if he's a transformative player or not, but I think he has a good chance to there at eight. Someone that, you know, fits the profile. I think Will Dawkins would like, is a guy like Anthony Black, just going based off of what the OKC Thunder have done over the last few seasons. I think he fits that kind of mold of a player that they like. So I'd love to see him drafted there at eight if we do stay put.
Yeah. Black is a popular pick amongst Wizards Twitter. Yeah. Obviously I'm not quite at the point where I'm ready to do my, like, this is what I want in terms of the draft yet. We'll save that for probably our next pod here, Chase, but I'll you know, we can kind of dive into the draft stuff. But in terms of like kind of a prediction of things, I kind of have this feeling that something out of left field's going to happen in terms of the Wizards. And I don't mean a Beal trade. I mean, that's kind of obvious at this point, given the news that came out today. But I think that whether it is a trade up or it's something that I think the fan base isn't expecting, I think that, I don't know if you noticed, Chase, but when Winger was kind of talking about like assessing the roster, he was very vague about kind of like, hey, yeah, well, like we're gonna, you know, get to know the players, and it's like GM talk, and they kind of have to, you know, our president talk, I should say. It's kind of like you have to say things very vaguely. But I think that the news for Beal, with the Beal trade kind of coming out today, that's signaling that the front office isn't going to waste time kind of doing what needs to be done here. And I'm not saying they're going to trade everybody or make some crazy trade immediately, but I just think we're going to see a bit more movement from the Wizards than we normally are used to seeing in terms of being aggressive. Maybe it's aggressive trade up in the draft, or it's maybe a trade back and getting two picks or something that's just a little bit more outside the box than how the Wizards typically operate, I should say. Because I just feel like we've seen the Thunder do it, where the Knicks traded out of the draft, and then the Thunder gave up future assets to trade for Usman Dang, the overseas prospect, and they drafted him, and then they drafted Jalen Williams. And that was an unexpected move that kind of happened in the middle of the draft. But that was a big deal for the Thunder to make that kind of move. It was aggressive. They found two players they liked. They targeted both of them, and they got both of them. So the back-to-back picks. And not that the Wizards have that type of ammunition to do that type of trade, but I just think we're going to see aggressive movement in more aggressive movement than we're used to seeing as Wizards fans, because usually we're just watching every other team do something smart, and then we do something dumb, like draft Admiral Schofield when Bol Bol's on the board, or draft Johnny Davis when Jalen Williams is on the board, or draft Denny Avdia when Tyrese Halliburton's on the board, or like just do whatever is not the smart move to do, is what the Wizards usually do. But I think we're going to see something a little bit out of left field, and something that we're going to be like, oh wow, okay, they're not playing around, like they did this, or they're really making an aggressive move to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time going forward, definitely over the next week until the draft. Chase, is there anything else that we should touch on before we wrap up?
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to build off of what you just said. Tommy was never really willing to make those swings. Yeah, he stayed put in the draft every year, let the draft pick come to him at 9 to 10. At the deadline, he didn't make a move that probably would have saved his job. He needed to make probably a move there to save himself, and he didn't do it. We've always heard, you know, year after year with Tommy, oh, they almost did this. They nearly made this move. They almost did this. It's like, well, now I think we have a front office in place who will do this. They did do this. They went ahead and did what they needed to do to get the guy they wanted. Tommy was never able to do that. Some of that was with draft pick limitations for him. But I think this front office is going to show they're willing to make the moves that the previous regime may not have been willing to do, to take that next step. And that's what you need to do if you're going to be a serious player in the NBA. You need to make moves that maybe are out of the box that others maybe don't see. You need to have that forward thinking vision in an NBA front office. I think we have it. So I'm excited to see what happens over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the whole offseason. This offseason is going to be crazy from a whole NBA perspective, but that's definitely not limited to other teams. We're going to have a good offseason here for ourselves, I think. I'm excited to see where we go.
Yeah, we're going to have a good offseason here on the Wizards group chat as well. Chase, I'm really excited for you know, what we've got cooking. I'm really excited to see what the Wizards got cooking. I'm excited. This is probably the most excited I've been as a Wizards fan in some time. The team has really just kind of, oh man, just took the wind out of my sails a bit over the past few years, but it's a fun time to kind of get back on the wagon here. And as a fan, not that I'm a bandwagon fan, but I mean, just back on the wagon in terms of it, having the enthusiasm about the team again, with a new direction, new leadership, a new vision for things. But Chase, we got plenty of stuff coming up for the draft. Obviously, if there's a Beal trade between anytime soon, we're going to be jumping back on the pod to
immediately to
hash that out. But you know, thank you everyone for listening to the inaugural episode of the group chat pod and Wizards group chat pod. And Chase, it's a pleasure, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see where we were able to take this. And thank you everyone who listened, man. I'm excited to build.